And now, Dungeon Guides.
Hello, and welcome again to another episode of Dungeon Guides, here to guide you through the ever-expanding TTRPG community and other fun, nerdy stuff that we have on offer. I'm your intrepid guide, Zach, over there to my metaphorical right.
I'm Josh.
And we are here to make sure that anything you do in the TTRPG tabletop gaming aspect of it can have just a little more oomph to it. I don't know why I'm doing this whole spiel right now. I mean, maybe we have new listeners who are just jumping in just this moment, you know, doing a little bit of a re-spiel of the gimmick. I feel like it's pretty a good idea.
I think we may have established at one point, every handful of episodes or so, you know? Not yeah, everybody starts from the idea. Beginning.
Always a good idea. You want to keep continuity on track, you know, for how everything's going.
Well, so, sometimes with a show, you want to grab a few episodes in and see, like, you know, do they get good? Do they get better?
Exactly. And we can assure you, listeners, at episode 9, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I feel like we've gotten at least a little bit better.
We're almost to double digits. That's something.
That is true. We're almost to double digits. And do we have something special for you for episode 10? I guess you'll just have to wait and listen to episode 10 to find out. That's how you keep on the hook there, Josh.
That's what you call a tease.
Yeah, exactly. So, for listeners at home who have been, you know, following along with the episodes, for you, this is not going to be too much of a difference between last episode and this episode because, you know, the way we do it, we have a good amount of backlog in case anything happens. For me and Josh, it's been about, like, what, 3 weeks since
something
we last
like that.
Talked? Yeah, I've been super sick. Just I'm feeling better. Thank you for your concern, everybody. But I've been super sick, and so we haven't been able to record. We just got back to playing D&D finally, like this week. Super happy about that. But because of that, I thought it'd be a pretty fun episode if we just decided to go for something that I feel like isn't necessarily explored in a lot of TTRPG games, which is sickness, you know, and how you play that at the table, how you, you know, do it in a way that's not going to be too debilitating, but also does have some risk to it, you know? So without further ado, Josh, how would you go about using sickness in your games?
Well, sickness is a lovely thing to add in. I mean, depending on the genre or the scope of the campaign, you may not want to always employ it, but it adds a nice another enemy to deal with, one that you can't just swing a sword at, you know. Sometimes it's the sneaky kind of enemy where you don't realize you've picked up a sickness until days later. I mean, as it normally happens, right? Some sicknesses are so nefarious that you feel its effects as soon as you're bit. What is it? Filth fever, I think, is one that I used a lot, and it's got a quick onset time. And in the same battle, you know, same fight that you pick it up, you could find yourself afflicted by it and taking penalties. But I like the idea of diseases in there because it provides an opportunity for players to reconsider their approach to all kinds of situations, especially if they know about the disease ahead of time. You know, if you know going in, okay, well, this is a town that's got a plague going on. Okay, well, that's already scary from the start. We know what's going on, you know, so now we've got to figure out what manner of sickness is this and who's able to handle that. I think we'd alluded before to the paladin who can go into the plagued town, you know, they're immune to disease, so they're perfectly fine. Well, it's one thing when you know ahead of time, but when you're not aware and a monster stumbles upon you in the ancient crypts and you pick up some itchy flesh rash from that mummy swipe and you're not quite sure what it is, but boy, is it spreading, you know. How am I going to deal with this one? Do we have a healer in the group? Do we have a healer that knows enough about diseases? Do you have the magics to remove it?
100%. And I like what you said there about using, you know, different types of sicknesses and diseases. Because obviously, like normal life, diseases and sicknesses come in like many varieties. It's like, you know, this one that I had, freaking out, I was out for the count. You know, I was laying in my bed just trying to not die some days, and it just felt horrible. And then other sicknesses I've had, I've been like, oh yeah, I just got a little bit of a sniffle, you know. It's just a sniffle. I can still do pretty much everything in my life.
Yeah, you probably passed your con check, right? You know?
Exactly.
A couple symptoms, but you're all right.
Exactly. And it's kind of that thing of how do you go about creating sicknesses that feel natural and then also don't necessarily, like, you obviously want to have stakes with your players, you know. You don't want to just say, oh yeah, you're sick, but really it's not going to hamper you in any way. Now, sometimes just having something where it's like, hey, this is going to, you know, maybe it means, hey, you have this sickness, you got to get like an extra 2 hours of sleep every night to get a full rest. It can be that small of a inconvenience. Like, that doesn't necessarily change the game style too much, but maybe if they're trying to get somewhere fast, all of a sudden, hey, you're having to spend 10 hours sleep time or downtime instead of just 8. That's, you know, a big, big problem. Now you have to account for that or try to fix yourself. And then I think there's the other side of that, you know, coin for sickness and disease, which is like, yeah, you have, you know, disadvantage on any check you make. Or you, if you don't get this figured out, you're going to die in like, you know, a week, you know, that type of stuff. That's like, yeah, this needs to be figured out now before we do anything else.
Right. And that can lend into all kinds of different story related issues dungeon complication situations where, you know, by retrieving the item or by smiting the necromancer in the down in the catacombs, you know, a curse befalls you that, you know, or some other malady that which causes some disease. This can be part of an arc, you know, of a story arc or part of a campaign arc or a really heavy focus immediately for the players. You know, is this devastating thing that it's a ticking time bomb inside of us. We have a week to solve the problem. If local apothecaries and herbalists and healers don't know what's going on, or, you know, how much time do you have to go travel to other towns to find somebody who knows about it? You know, what if you require a rare ingredient in order to come up with a cure? Even if you find somebody who knows what it is and how to treat it, you know, so it can be really interesting. It can also be fun when it's sort of a mid-range situation where maybe the players have to decide, man, do we go back to town and start dealing with this, scarlet hiccup or whatever we've picked, you know, like, we just can't stop hiccuping, right? And every once in a while we have to make a save, or otherwise we're taking acid damages. We keep vomiting, but we can't make, you know, we can't make stealth rolls because we keep hiccuping all the time. But we could press on potentially, you know, or we could travel 6 days back to that village and try to cure ourselves and then come back to the dungeon. You know, which decisions do you make in those moments?
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, I think as a DM, you just gotta, you know, really make those types of decisions in the moment, or not in the moment, but like before you bring these types of things to your table, you got to decide, do I want this to be something that is defining an adventure around it? Or do I want this just to be a little bit of a hassle that the players will have to overcome really fast, you know? They'll have to figure something out. One thing that I think, as you were talking about it, I think it's a great setup. I don't necessarily love how it works in-game, but, oh gosh, it's a D&D adventure. You played it. I know you played
it. Oh, the Tomb of Annihilation.
Tomb of Annihilation, yes. Yeah. Where the premise is that anybody who has ever been resurrected is now befalling a mysterious illness because of, you know, necrophidi?
Well, we don't want to spoil too much now.
True, we don't want to spoil too much.
All right.
But the idea is that anybody who has ever, you know, been resurrected is now befalling a mysterious illness, and it's like, oh, what's going on? And that's kind of the funness of, you know, tabletop RPGs in general, both fantasy, sci-fi, you know, horror, anything like that, is that you can make up some pretty kind of weird illnesses, you know, however you want to. And they can come from literally however you want them to come through. Like, hey, you have too many magic items on you. You have, you know, a magic item whooping cough. Like, you developed an
allergy to particular magic items, you know?
Yeah, you know, you went into a swamp without, you know, rubbing yourself down with aloe. Now you have a, you know, the swamp rash, and it's, you know, it's going to last on you for a while because, you know, not only was that swamp a swamp, it's also, you know, that's where,
it's teeming with life. And not only like, would a swamp in our world be nasty. I mean, you wouldn't go drinking the water or wading around in it too long without expecting leeches and other things, but we're talking about a magical world typically. So,
oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't there be even worse versions of everything?
Exactly. And that's the thing, is like, and what you kind of alluded to earlier, is I think what gives DMs, here's what I will say. If you want to do sickness and diseases that are a little more harsh, is that if you give your players a little bit of a hint to this being a thing, or, you know, straight up tell them, hey, that there's going to be a sickness or disease you get from this thing. But if you go to, you know, this well-renowned healer, maybe they'll have something to help protect you, or, you know, mitigate the problems. Or there's this really well-known plant that's, you know, very regarded for its healing properties or preventative measures it has against different sicknesses and diseases. If you do that, you can kind of be like, okay, I'm going to step up the factor of what's this disease or sickness is going to be, because my players have the option to go try to mitigate this in some way. You know, I am not just throwing them in the deep end and expecting them to flail about, you know?
Right. Well, and here's another thing too, that you're able to engage part of the one of the important parts of role-playing games is the non-combat, non-dialogue things. You know, you have all these powers and your character has abilities and stats and skill points and percentages that they can do things, but one of the best tools that you have is simply you interacting with the world, making plans, setting things up. You don't need to be able to fly in order to set up a trap or an ambush location. You can just manipulate the world, and that's an interesting way to add more depth into the complications and problem solving that players get to engage in. You know, like if you create more dynamic situations and situations that don't require smash first tactics, you might not have to have smash first tactics all the time, you know, in order to have a challenging experience, you know, in any game session.
Exactly. So with these last couple minutes that we have with our, you know, listeners, how about we go ahead and brainstorm a few sickness and diseases here? Because, I mean, we've already been kind of doing that, but maybe we try to, like, really flush out one and see how well we can get something going. Just to kind of give them an idea of, like, hey, this is what one would look at like in a game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess the first you would want to kind of come up with the parameters. Are we looking at something that is like a story related disease, or you know, something where, I guess what I mean when I say that is that even if you succeed on the DC, something's still going to happen to you, but maybe you didn't die outright. Or is this something that, okay, if they pass the DC, they just don't move down the disease track, you know, because you have different systems have different ways of going about it. And I've always kind of liked the Pathfinder and Starfinder disease track systems, where it isn't just as simple as here's a DC, here's an onset time, and here's the effects or damage or whatever. You know, you've got to make successive con saves and healing checks in order to move up out of a very serious disease. So that's something that I like, is having a disease that has the potential of getting really nasty, and maybe it takes a little while. I like diseases that have a little bit slower onset time. So maybe you don't know you have it until it's too late. I'm a big fan of, and probably the easiest way I think would be to go with a bite disease. I think that's the easiest way to get, if you're thinking about, okay, how do I infect my players with a disease? Give them freaking rats. Giant rats, that's pretty common. Biting insects, you know, sturges,
literally every zombie movie.
Yeah, right, you know, it's pretty basic, you know.
It's a very easy, dare I say, cliche way to do it, but it's a good way. It's a tried and true, because, I mean, I think everybody kind of is like, as soon as you get bitten, your immediately first thought is, oh, fuck, well, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, I would 100% agree. Is, you know, biting is a great way to go about it. You got to decide on how you're going to transmit it to your players.
Now here's the thing, like, you have to decide, and this is a kind of a per DM thing, you know, okay, do you have the players make this check? And I think if you're trying to make it if I'm trying to go forward with this, I would make the first check for them. They wouldn't even know. I'm not mm-hmm. Not gonna even tip it up, because why would you know? That would be metagame information for your player to realize, oh, I've got it, I didn't make the save on that disease check. You know, there may be some diseases where it's obvious, right? You know, you see some crusty nastiness moving into you from their mouth. But making the first check for them and letting the onset time kick in, you know, and they think everything's fine. And then, you know, they start sweating or something, or getting a fever. And then when you start, if you could start introducing symptoms, they're going to start, you know, freaking out, and then, you know, immediately go, okay, well, what's going on with me? You know, like, which thing was it that we fought in the last couple of days? Was it, you know, was it the weird thing when I was joking around and I put that old coin in my mouth? You know, like, you know, you could take so many moments of the player's interactions that, like, you know, there's contaminants everywhere, right? So,
oh yeah.
Moving it along there, like, what would, I guess, putting it back to the player, like, What would be the scariest, like, symptoms for you to have if you were to be told by the DM, and then you're like, oh shit, I think I have a disease?
I think there's a lot of different things that could be scary. I mean, definitely disadvantage on checks is a definite, like, oh god, this is bad, or something like that. But you know, in some ways that does feel a little too
obvious.
I wouldn't say obvious. I would go more go for like a little too much gamey to me. It feels a little bit.
Oh sure.
I would almost go for you know, sometimes that's not a bad thing because, you know, we are playing a game here. I would almost say the most scary way to do it would be almost like maybe you almost lose control of your character in some moments. Maybe like, hey, like at night you wake up and like you've been like just walking around the camp because you're just so sick with something that you are sleepwalking. And then
absolutely.
All of a sudden now you have to worry about, okay, what if I wake up and I'm in the middle of the dungeon, you know, instead of at my camp, and like, how the fuck did I get here, you know, type of thing.
Because you could be wondering, you know, oh shit, did I pick up a curse, or do I have some fey that's messing with me right now? Mm-hmm, you know, what's I like that, because you want to leave some sort of like crumbs. I mean, obviously when you're telling them, hey, your character feels weird, you're not normally telling them like, oh, you're just having a bad day and your foot hurts a little bit. Right. You know, we're not giving these moments all the time, otherwise, you know, because you kind of need to try to slide something in there. But something I've done before is like if there was a penalty to hit or something like that, I conceal it in the result. Or in the response, you know, so you roll a 20, you say, okay, what'd you get for an attack roll? 19. And I know it's, you got a -4 going on right now. So, okay, 15 versus their armor. They missed. And you're like, man, this guy's hard to hit, you know. And then there's going to be that metagame moment probably when one of your compatriots is hitting it and you guys isolate the AC. And you're like, the AC is 15. And you're like, how am I not hitting it with a 19? Because your character, it would almost work like that, you know, perhaps that your character is like, wait a second, I've fought this guy so much, you know, and he's not really that good, because I see, you know, Joham over here, who I know is not the greatest, and he's just landing blows left and right, you know,
because exactly.
Something's wrong. it's not just a headache.
And then I think also another scary idea to kind of attack is the player's actual, like, not just stats, but, like, their hit points, you know?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Cut their hit points out of battle before they even reach battle. Or maybe even types of things of, like, you're attacking their scores themselves, you know? Those types of things. There's a bunch of ways to do them, and I think that's also an episode in itself of, like, what is on a character sheet. Like, you can attack more than just hit points ever, right. You know,
and
you know, you can attack pretty much anything that's written down on your player's character sheets or whatever they're using in whatever game. But, you know, that's another idea for a different time. But I think overall sickness and disease is something that, to kind of go into it a little bit at the end here on why I feel like we don't see it a ton in modern day tabletop games, at least with what I've played, as I feel like it, or at least seen as well, is that it feels a little like you're taking away agency from the players. And I think today's kind of realm, that's kind of seen as a no-no. You don't take away player agency. You want to give them all the agency because, you know, you're all telling a story. But the thing is that if you're telling a story, sometimes those characters in those stories, they get their agency taken away.
Absolutely. Like, well, here's the thing too, because this could be another subject or another episode as well, is that sometimes, because I understand, like, you don't want to take away player agency, but what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Are you CCing your foes? You know, are you stun locking people? Or are you charming others and gaining an advantage in combat? Then you should face that as well. Like, that's only fair. And And this goes into something where I agree, and I'm in agreement with a lot of people's criticisms of many pre-made modules and fights and stuff, is that being paralyzed constantly. It seems to be like that is the primary go-to for dealing with players is to stun them, you know? Like mm-hmm. there's a lot of abilities, because it's huge. It takes you out of the fight, right? Like, it's not just a penalty. It's not just a critical hit. You don't even get to act, right? So right. I kind of like the idea of diseases or any other kind of things, you know, like you said, attacking a particular stat as a way to create more of those kind of opportunities. It isn't just stun locking your players that you have, you know, because I think a lot of that is why we have so much kind of backlash against removing player agency, is because it's usually paralysis. You're getting locked down, you know, or a massive disparity in action economy, which is something you got to watch out for with a dungeon master. It can go either way really quick, right? If you don't watch for balance.
Yeah, exactly. And with that, I think we are at the end of this very sickly episode.
I'm sure it'll just linger on and on.
I hope not. Let me tell you. Oh, you mean the episode. Yeah, probably. Let's hope. Well, listeners, thank you again for joining us on another episode of the Dungeon Guides. We hope you enjoyed listening to the sultry tones of two people just yammering away about things we love. We appreciate you listening, and we hope to see you next week for what will be our 10th episode. I hope we're not hyping it up too much, because probably nothing special. But I have been Zach.
And I continue to be Josh.
And he does continue to be Josh. And we have been Dungeon Guides. Thank you for listening. And roll only 20s this week. Goodbye.
Later.